in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we will be starting at the 13th verse. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, again. You are so gracious. Lord, I know that there's a lot of things that are going on in our country, well, around the world. Lord, this panic, hysteria, people just, it's like, seems to be going crazy. And yet, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your people, Lord, we trust in you. We believe in you, and we know that you will protect us, Lord. And that, Lord, that no matter what happens, we win no matter what. And so, Father, I just pray for our country. I pray for our president. I pray for everyone who has to make decisions. I pray for the churches, Lord, that have closed for a short period of time. And I pray also for the churches that are still going on, Lord, and continue to protect them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bless this sermon, bless this message, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we are able to come here and to hear your word. So bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with the 13th verse. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So here, going back again, following me, verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. Now, this is talking about being obedient to the high authorities. And we're living in a day and time now where, you know, you're hearing a lot of about police shootings, and you're hearing about all these type of things that are going on. And a lot of times you would have to step back. Well, I know I step back and think, okay, how is this happening? Why is it happening? Why does it seem to be happening so much? And then when you begin to think about the generations that are behind us, well, that I would you say behind us or before us now? Well, before us now, this new generation, they really don't know that much about respect. They know how to say, I want respect, show me respect. But they themselves, they have no really clue about what respect is. They do not respect authority. And one of the biggest reason authority is not respected is because kids do not respect their parents. So if you don't respect your parents, then how are you going to respect authority on the outside? I feel sorry for the teachers today. I feel sorry. I told an officer one time, I don't know if I would want to wear a uniform again in this day and time. To see the changes that have happened. People are so disrespectful. I saw on Amazon, I was just looking to see if Amazon was still selling toilet paper or not, and I saw they were selling rolls of toilet paper with the picture of the president's face on it. And I thought to myself, how disrespectful. You know, I wouldn't even, you know, I wasn't a big Obama supporter, but I wouldn't do that to him. I wouldn't do that to anyone. But, you know, it's just so much disrespect out there. Because I don't like you, I can disrespect you. I don't have to listen to you. And this is what's going on in this country. This is what's going on here. And so here, the people that Peter is writing to, he's writing to Christians that are under a tyrant by the name of Nero, and we're going to see that. This is why he's writing. This is why he's saying, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. So we do this as Christians. We do this for the Lord's sake so that he is glorified by our orderly submission. We're not submitting to man, but we're submitting to God by following the ordinance of man as long as it doesn't go against the words of God. We glorify God when we accept others' authority over us, because the authority is divinely ordained. Thus, we are doing God's will. Because Christ accepted the Father's authority, we must follow his footstep. We too must listen and follow authority because our actions commend Christ to others. We show Christ by the life that we live. If you can you imagine me, I'm a pastor, and I say, you dirty cops, you know, I'm out there in the street, and, you know, people, isn't that a pastor? Or isn't that one of the congregants that go to that particular church? I mean, it would look strange for Christians out there going up against the law like that or the government for whatever reason. We have the freedom to go out and protest against abortion and things like that. I'm not even talking about, but authority. It's what this is talking about. So he is saying, you know, live your life as a Christian. Don't fight up against the government because it'll just crush you. It'll destroy you. So by telling his readers to accept the authority of the emperor, Peter was talking about the Roman emperor Nero, as I said earlier, a well-known cruel tyrant who ruled for about 14 years. The emperor was the supreme ruler over all Roman province, including the areas to which Peter addressed this letter to. So the emperor Nero was considered the supreme authority by his subjects. They even worshipped him. He, you know, Caesars, they were, emperors were gods in some of their eyes. The Christians were not to worship the emperor, but they needed to obey his laws because he was an authority put in place by God. So one of the hang-ups that the Christians had is like, okay, he's the emperor, but he's not my God. And because Christians would not bow or worship Caesar or the emperor, a lot of times they were killed for it. It's just like today, we are against abortion, even though the government says it's okay, we're against it. So we're not really going against God's laws by being against abortion, because it's when the laws of man goes against the laws of God, then we can stand up against them. But that doesn't mean we go and kill abortion doctors. That doesn't mean that we go and burn up abortion clinics. You know why? Because that's breaking the law. We're not to do that. We're not to break the law. In Romans 13, 1 through 2, Paul had written, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God." So the laws of man has been instituted by God. Now, are laws perfect? No, they're not. Are those who enforce the law perfect? No, they're not. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to the United States, I think we have the best laws. Are they perfect? No. Do people always get justice? No. But we get more justice than a lot of these third world countries that you see some of these countries. I mean, our neighbors next door in Mexico, I mean, you can't even trust the police there. You can't trust the government there. We can't trust the government here either that much, but not as much as they can't trust their government over there. So what I'm saying is sin is everywhere. And so the things that are to keep things in line, it's not perfect. But yet, it's there, and it's keeping us from going into chaos. So even Paul, like Peter, said that whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will suffer judgment. So if you go and burn down an abortion clinic, yeah, is it wrong to have abortion? Yes. But is it wrong to go burn down the building? Yes, it's against the law, and you will pay for it. You will pay for that. Now, when they were refusing to worship Nero, now they were willing to take the consequences of, hey, I'm not gonna bow down to that guy. He's not my God. There's only one God. There was only one Savior. But here's a good word of warning. Peter was not telling believers to compromise their Holy Spirit. Remember, Peter had told the high priest years before, we must obey God rather than man. And that's when they were telling Peter and John, we don't want you to go talking about this man called Jesus. And so Peter says, hey, we have to obey God rather than man. So Peter let them know, I know you are men of authority, but you can't tell us that we can't name the name of Jesus because we know he's real. So they stood, and what happened to them? They had to pay the consequences of it. They were beaten for it, and they were treated as criminals. But I think if I'm going to get in trouble, I would rather be in trouble because I am speaking the word of God and not breaking man's law as far as, you know, burning down a building or throwing rocks into a police station window because I don't like the chief of police or whatever. People sometimes justify themselves in the craziest ways and to do things, and they don't realize they're breaking the law. I remember this kid, he saw graffiti on the wall, and so he took paint, and he sprayed over the graffiti, and he says, "Jesus is Lord." And I go, "Well, you put graffiti on the wall." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "When you wrote on the wall, that's graffiti." He goes, "Yeah, but I put Jesus as Lord." I go, "You broke the law. You're not supposed to write on the walls." So he thought by writing Jesus Christ as Lord that it was okay, that it was a good thing. But no, it's a bad thing. So the thing is like, we have to be very careful when we think we're correcting something. Maybe we're breaking the law ourselves. And so Peter is warning them, be very careful. Don't break the laws. Don't be rebels. Don't be rebels against Rome. Because the Roman law was only there to restrain against the lawlessness. It was believed that the Christians' quiet submission might allow them to continue to spread the gospel freely. So Peter's saying, "Hey, let's not be so loud in that manner, because you know what? We don't want. Actually, you know what he's saying is we don't want to get the attention of the government, because if we do, then we're not able to spread the gospel." So Peter's saying, hey, follow the laws, follow the rules. As long as it's not going against God's laws, follow them. Don't be rebels. Because what's going to happen, the emperor is going to have his governors and his soldiers, they're going to come after you, and you're going to pay for it. So Peter himself would later be put to death for his faith during Emperor Nero's intense persecution of the Christians. Because again, because they were obeying God, they were being crucified for it. They were being killed for it. Because they would not worship the emperor, one of the reasons. 14th verse, follow me there. Or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good. So as Christians, we are to live in obedience to every institution of civil and social order on the earth. This means that we are to be in obedience to the national government, which back then would be a king, but today it's the government. So the state government, the police and judges, they are authorized by God to punish offenders and to praise those who keep the law. So when I go out in the street, when I see the police officer, my heart doesn't beat real fast. But I know people, when they see the law enforcement, their hearts beat fast because they're wondering, are they coming after me? Because they have done something wrong. I had a relative, you know, he always bragged about how he could go into a store and pick something up and walk right out of the store with it. I mean, he felt very proud about that. But I told him, I said, yeah, but when you walk out of that store, you're always looking over your shoulder, aren't you? I said, I can walk in the store and walk out of the store and don't even have to worry about it. I said, but you do. So the thing is like, if we're following the law, we have a less chance of running into the law in the worst way. It's better to have a police officer says, hey, how are you doing, than hear him crying out, yelling at you with a gun pointing at you, let me see your hands, you know? And that's a bad situation. It is bad. But as Christians, when we follow the laws of God, then we are showing Christ. Only when the government tries to force a Christian to do what is against the law of God, plainly stated in Scripture, should a person refuse to submit. I'm not going to submit to worshiping anyone but God. I'm not going to submit to, I don't want you to be going around telling people about Jesus Christ. I want you to stop passing out pamphlets about Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do that. So there is a time when obedience is not required. If a human government orders to a believer to act contrary to the revealed will of God, like I was saying, then the believer must disobey the government. That's when we disobey, when the government is trying to go against the word of God. For instance, same-sex marriage. I mean, according to the word of God, it is unnatural, it is ungodly, it is unholy. And because we are against it, you know, there's actually been, especially in California, there's actually been threats about the state wanting to, are thinking about taxing the church. Taxing. And I remember one church leader said, go ahead and do it. We'll be glad for you to do it. Because once they start taxing the churches, then you know what it does? It gives the church the power to endorse someone. So, but under a nonprofit, you know, as far as churches are, we can't do that. I can't bring a candidate in here and say, vote for this person. Even though churches are doing it. The liberal ones are, though. The conservative church that does that, they get in trouble. They get in big trouble. I mean, it's okay if I have a representative come and talk to you, but I have to have the other guy come in too, also. I just can't have the one guy and bar the other guy. A lot of people don't know that, but churches can't endorse people. Yeah, like a president, you know, a pastor can't come and say, I endorse this guy, you vote for him. So if punishment is given out for a person's disobedience, that person should endure it generously. When we go up against the government because the government is going against the word of God, we should take it. Under no circumstances should we ever back down from the true word of God. And under no circumstances should any Christian rebel or seek to overthrow a government, which in some countries we have seen. You remember during I think Britain was having the problems with the IRA. I mean, they were just... I mean, that was just, they were blowing up each other, and, you know, it was the Catholics and the Protestants, and, I mean, it's just crazy. Especially when people are saying, I'm killing in the name of God. I'm destroying in the, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, and two, when it comes down to laws, people don't understand that laws were made to protect us. If we didn't have any laws, anybody can come into your house and take whatever you have. You would literally have to stand outside with a weapon to protect your property. But under the law, even though it's not that great maybe, it protects us. And that feels good. It's good that you can call the police if something is going on, that you're afraid or someone's in your property. See, that's law enforcement. That is controlling. That is keeping chaos from going berserk. And, you know, are people still dying? People still getting murdered? People, they're still shoplifting. But you know what? It's not near as bad if there was no law enforcement, if there was any laws. So Peter is saying laws are good, even the ones we don't like. But just because you don't like it, don't go up against it, because we don't want to stir up a lot of stuff here. Plus, at the same time, we want to show what it looks like to be a Christian, to be a man and woman of God. We're not always rebelling. Let it be that when we are standing up against the government, it's only because the government is going against the word of God. So technically, those who smuggle Bibles into countries are breaking law. You know, we hear about people sneaking Bibles like into China and places. They're actually breaking the law. But they're obeying a law that has preceded over any human law and the command to go into all the world with the gospel. So they cannot be condemned on scriptural grounds. They can be condemned by the law, but not scriptural grounds. God, you know, because God has ordained us to go into the world. And so even if the world is trying to stop us from spreading the word of Christ, God is pleased because we're still spreading the word. You know, they tried to stop Jesus. They tried to get Jesus with the law. They tried to tell him, you can't be healing this man on the Sabbath. But he broke that law because that was not going against God's law. Because they had taken God's law and made it more than what God had intended it to be. And we as men and as mankind, we have a bad habit of doing that. We can get something good and we can mess it up really bad. But the thing is, what we're talking about here is that God has given us peace within by not always following the ways of the world. See, I have peace. Even no matter what laws are out there, I still have peace. I don't need to go out and protest against the laws of the land, even the ones I disagree with. Because my journey is to teach the word of God. You are to tell others about the word of God, even though the government may one day be up against it. But it's just like Peter and John. They went up against the government too. They broke the law because they were told don't do it, but they did it anyway because they said God's law is greater than yours. See, now they were in line with the law. They were not in line with man's law, but they were in line with God's law. When Jesus healed that man on the Sabbath, he was obeying God's. And so Peter, again, one of the reasons Peter's talking this way is saying, he's trying to get them to focus. You know, we're under a tyrant, but yet you can live a peaceful life by, if you're going to fight, fight against the right things. It's like I heard a guy say, choose the hill that you choose to die on. Don't go out dying on every hill, on every issue. And we have Christians, we have some Christians, they'll die on every hill. They're out there fighting everything. They're fighting even other churches. You know, maybe they got their little doctrine wrong in some kind of way, and they're out there fighting them too. You know, there's people, they just want to fight everything. But we as Christians, we're supposed to show Christ by the way we live. And people are to look at us and wonder, what makes you so different? You know, and that's when we say, it's because of he who dwells in me, Jesus Christ. He's changed my life. You hear former criminals say the same thing. I don't have desire to steal a car anymore. I don't have a desire to go and burglarize homes. There's a change in my life. Now, the people that can't be changed, what happens to them? There are people in prison for life for car theft because they just continue to do it on and on. Pretty soon the government says, hey, can't take this anymore. You're, you know, we're going to incarcerate you. So now, as Christians, we're kind of going under attack, but it's nothing like theirs. So even though these people under Nero were going through all this stuff with Nero and all the politics, the question is as to whether a Christian should vote or engage in politics. You know, should they have gotten together and just says, hey, let's go and vote this guy out? Well, you know what? In those days, there was no voting an emperor out. Today, we can vote people out. But the thing is that we are to stay together in the Word of God and to live that kind of life that shows the world that this is how we are to live. It's I'd say that it's above morality. Christianity is even above. Because we have men and women who are not even Christians who have morality. They have good morals. They follow the laws of the land. If the speed limit says 65, they go 65. They don't go 69 or you know. We're all guilty and breaking the law in some way, shape, or form. But the thing is that we are to live a life totally different than the world, the way that the world is living. We're to show a different concept, a different personality. Follow me at verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So the foolish are unbelievers who speak about and act in ignorance toward Christians. Peter encouraged the believers to live so righteously that even those foolish people's lies and slander would be silenced. So the word silence literally means to muzzle. In other words, to shut them up. This repeats the idea of verse 12 of this chapter. The thought is that the unbelievers would finally have to admit that they could hold nothing against Christians except their faith. And see, and that's why Peter's encouraged them, live the ways of God, live by man's law, and you will not have to be punished by them. So God's will is that his people should live so ethically and unblameably that the unsaved could not bring up any legitimate basis of accusation. As Christians, our godly conduct can and should expose the ignorance of the charges made against Christianity by foolish men, meaning we should not give people a reason to look at us and say, boy, you guys, you're foolish, you're dumb, you're stupid, we shouldn't be out there doing it. But just living a Christian life, people think we're crazy. They think we're crazy believing. There are people that believe that we're crazy, that we believe in a God we've never seen, a Savior we've never seen or heard. And yet, at the same time, there are people out there in the world who believe in God, but they don't serve him, but they do see God in us. And see, and that's our reasons that Christ has saved us. So not only to serve him, but to show the world Christ, to show that he is real. It is our life that is going to show that Jesus Christ is real, the way we act, the way we perform on our jobs. You know, when we're doing our job, when we're not sleeping when we're supposed to be working, or we're not stealing when we're supposed to be replacing, you know, we're just different. I remember on my job one time, this guy, just out of the blue, I don't know why, I don't know what happened or why he did it. He said something to me, and I can't remember what it was about, but I answered him. I think he wanted me to do something, and I said, well, I can't do that. And he said, well, why not? I said, because that's not right, you know. He goes, oh, you're so holier than thou. You know, it's like, wow. See, when you stand for the truth, a lot of times when you stand to do right, people will dislike you for doing right. There was this police officer back in the 70s. He found a car parked in New York in an alley. And he kind of looked through the car and he opened up the trunk. He opened the trunk. It was $500,000 in the trunk of the car. $500,000. Because that police officer turned it in, other police officers did not like him. They said, by you doing that, I don't think I could trust you. It flipped on him. They would look at him. I mean, he even was thinking about going to another precinct because they were giving him such a hard time. There were people who didn't want to work with him because he turned it back in. They were like, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Well, he's in law enforcement. He's to represent the law. So those people that were mad at him, you were wondering, well, what have you done with it? You would have kept it? Because that's what they're implying. And so as Christians, we have to be honest and true no matter what. I don't know how many times I've gone into Walmart, paid for stuff, come out, I'm putting stuff away, and I see something that I didn't pay for. And I went, oh, I could have easily just put it in the car, got in, and drove home. But I picked it up. I took it right back in. It was an idea that someone was looking at me or someone may see me or anything like that. My conscience couldn't let me do it. I mean, it was a no-brainer. I did it. One time I walked out of there. I think I had something I bought. It was like $40 or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I'm uploading and everything. And I thought to myself, did I pay for that? And I'm looking at it, so I'm taking my slip out. I'm there going, because I bought a lot of stuff, and I'm going through line by line trying to find it, and I found that I didn't buy it. So I took it back, and I bought it, you know? So the thing is that what would you do when no one's looking at you? What kind of Christian are you when no one's looking at you? Are you the kind of Christian that when you look around like, oh, doesn't look like anybody's looking, and you get in and you take off? Are you only real when people are looking at you? Or are you real even when no one's looking at you? And see, and that's the measure of a true Christian. Only you can answer that question. Who are you when no one's around? Are you real? And so Peter is saying to them to be a real Christian, to be a real man of God. When we submit to government and to those who are in authority over our lives, we gain praises of God through our lives. Even though the law may not always see it, but God sees it. But we, as children of God, we are to listen to the laws of God. We are to obey the laws of God. We are to follow the laws of God. Verse 16, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So he's saying, be true to who you are. Don't use Christianity as a cloak. Because a lot of times people will do that. People will use it as a cloak. There are televised evangelists that use it for a cloak. Send some money to this ministry. But what are they doing with that money? Some of them are putting that money right back into their pockets. And so the thing is who's the master? Who's the master of our lives? Is it the money? Is it gain? Is it my hobbies? Who's the master of our lives? And so it comes down to the government is the law, but Jesus Christ is my Lord and Master. And so if he's my Lord and Master, it's my Lord and Master that I'm going to follow. I'm not going to be, I don't want to be a slave to the things in this world. I don't want to be a slave to cigarettes. I don't want to be a slave to drinking. I don't want to be a slave to drugs. I don't want to be a slave to thievery. I don't want to be a slave to watching television, to watching pornography. I don't want to be a slave to those things. I want to follow Jesus Christ. He is He is the only one. As Christians, we have only one master, and his name is Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:19 says, people are slaves to whatever masters them. And in John 8:34, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So the thing is, like I said, if I were a slave to sin, when I went into the supermarket and I mistakenly brought some things out that I didn't pay for, if I was a slave to sin, I would have followed my master's advice. Don't take it back. You just saved some money. You know, but instead, my master has changed my life. He's changed me from within, and I'm following him. And because of him, I do the right thing because it's in my heart to do it, and I know it pleases him. So if people follow their own sinful desires, they will be slaves to those desires. However, if people choose to follow God, they receive freedom from sin, from Satan's power and control, from guilt, and from having to do good enough in order to be saved. Christian freedom means that our salvation is not determined by good works or legalistic rules, but by the free gift of God, which is his Holy Spirit, which is his grace. We are free from keeping the law as a way to earn salvation. We still have to obey God's laws, specifically his moral laws, which are outlined in the Ten Commandments, because they are expressions of God's will for us. And believe it or not, a lot of man's laws come from those Ten Commandments, if you look at it. Christian freedom ties us to Christian responsibility because Christ is our Lord. He is our master. Christ frees us to serve him, a freedom that results in our ultimate good. And you can find that in Romans 6:15 and Galatians 5:13. In Romans 6:15, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He says this, by no means. So here Paul's warning to the Christians not to suggest that just because sin is no longer our master, we are now free to indulge in sin without fear of being controlled by it. Being under grace and under the mastery of Christ allow us the freedom not to sin. Any attitude that welcomes excuses or defends sin is not grace, but slavery to sin. So when we give excuse to our sin, we're still a slave to it. When we have Christ as our Lord and Savior and our Master, we don't excuse it. We ask him to help us through it. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, through this. In Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And it's similar like this. It's probably a crazy illustration, but it's like this. It's like I heard this guy goes, you know, I don't believe in fooling around, but if I did fool around, it would be with another Christian. You know, you think about that and you think, how foolish is that? I mean, he really believed that. He really believed that. So the thing is, just because we're Christians doesn't mean that because we're dating a Christian woman and I'm married or she's married, that it's okay. Again, it's like that. It's like that graffiti, you know. Oh, I'm Jesus Christ, you know, it's Lord. So he's saying here, don't take advantage of it, because we're not a fallen people. Because of Christ, we have changed. We've been born again. So when we look at the word flesh in this verse, flesh does not mean just a weakness, but an almost vicious power in a human nature. Our fallen nature rebels against God and resists the Spirit, producing what Paul called the works of the flesh. So the demand of human nature presents a constant threat to our real freedom in Christ. We need his ongoing help to keep our flesh under control. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to meditate on his Word. Because you know what? We're fallen. I like what Paul said. There's nothing good in me except for Christ. Because of Christ, I'm good. But without Christ, I'm bad. I am nobody. We are lost without Christ. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. So what he's saying here, honor all men. A Christian should respect other human beings. He doesn't say to love all men, as some people think, but we are to treat everyone equally. Because you know what? It's really hard to love everybody. There's some people who are just hard to love. The only thing you can do is to be nice and courteous to them. We're to show respect to one another, even when we don't agree with them. Even if you don't agree with the president, you don't have to go put his face on the toilet paper. See, there's so much disrespect in this country. And because of that disrespect, we don't honor people. We don't respect people. We don't love the brotherhood. Here he says, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, give respect to our government, our government officials. Whether you like them or not, respect them. I'm not a big fan of Newsom, but you know what? I wouldn't call him by his name. I would say Mr. Governor, because he is an official. Just because he's doing things I totally disagree with, I'm not going to call him a dog. I'm not going to put his face on toilet paper. So the thing is that we as Christians, we are above the world. We're not above the world on our own. We're above the world because of he who dwells in us, because of Jesus Christ. So that means we're not to act like the world. We're not to put on like the world. When people see us, they should be able to know that we are Christians, not by the way we dress, but by the way we expose our personality. Because it's going to be our personality that's going to tell people who we are in Christ. Because without that, we're just going to look like everybody else. So remember, respect, love the brotherhood, love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and respect those who are in authority. And this is what Peter is saying to the people, respect them. Because if you respect them, you're going to have less problems. You got problems enough, so don't stir it up. Don't make it worse. Be respectful. And that's the word to us. Even in churches today, a lot of the pastors are not respected. You know, people will tell pastors where to go. If a pastor says, hey, you know, your kids, hey, pastor, you know what? You mind your own business, you know? And so we got these things going on. Just disrespect, no honor. And we need to bring the honor back into the house of God. We need to bring the honor and respect back into the people of God so that the world may know how we are to be as human beings. Amen? Amen. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that hopefully I made sense. And Lord, I just hope that, Lord, that everything that has been said, Lord, is according to the way you would want it. And I pray and hope, Lord, that the people who have heard this, Lord, will take it within their hearts, Lord, and that they will apply it, Lord. And that, Lord, to always remember that we are not of this world. We're aliens. We're strangers. Ever since that day, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. We've been born again. Ever since we've been born again, we're no longer of this world, even though we're in it. And I pray, Lord, that because we're no longer of this world, but we're in the world, I just pray, Lord, that we will reflect Christ, that the world may see you in our lives, Lord, that they will see that change. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.